Well, good morning. Waylon, a couple of weeks ago, mentioned that I'll be taking a sabbatical. My next Sunday will be my last Sunday. And so this morning, I wanted to talk about that a little bit and some of my reflections over the last 7 years since I've taken my last sabbatical. Cool? So why don't we do this just to get us started? What's something you do that renews you? Just something that you enjoy doing that kind of fills your tank, gives you life. So turn to your neighbor and share that. I'll give you a couple minutes. Go. All right. Let's hear some of these. What do we do that renews us? Anybody? Water. Yeah. Got it. Cooking. Excellent. Can I come enjoy your renewal? Traveling. Good. Listening to that. Okay. Friends. Gardening, being outside. Right now? A little hot. So I was thinking through this, and then a couple weeks ago, our leadership team went to Albuquerque to, we had some meetings at the Center of Action and Contemplation. And so we went a couple days early just to kind of build some connection with each other and just to get some momentum before we had our meetings. And so we got in 2 days early, so it was our staff, our navigation team, and then our teaching team. And so the first night, half the crew had arrived, and we were just sitting around a fire chatting. And then Liz Scapel talked about how her and her niece, I think, had done a face swap. Do you guys know of such technology? I guess you can just, I didn't know that. I was like, I want to try it. So we did some face swapping. This is Amy and John Patillo. With faces swapped. She's got a luscious mustache. John's got a sick neck beard. It's excellent. This is Waylon and Rachel. Waylon's hair is gorgeous, by the way. Just fantastic. And then this is Waylon and myself. Yeah. You can never unsee that. I apologize. So that was our first night and we had a good time. And then the next night, we sat around the campfire again, and we were just sharing things that we didn't know about each other. And so Harmon shared, and Harmon, in middle school, were you 14? He was the hula hoop champion of his city, which was amazing. Yeah, we should applaud for that. Could you integrate that into the liturgy sometime? Please? Pretty please? And then Dee Brosnan, some of you know Dee. When she was in the second grade, guess who her basketball coach was? Greg Popovich. I know. I was like, whoa, that's amazing. And then after that night, we hadn't even had our meetings yet, which we went to Albuquerque for. And I heard two people say out loud what I was sensing. They were saying, oh, these two nights would have been enough. Like this sense of connection was renewing. And there, you know, we walked away from those few days rejuvenated and renewed. And so this morning I wanted to have a conversation about that. And I'm going to read two quotes. And I wanted to ask which of these quotes represents the season of our life right now. The first one's from Thomas Merton. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone with everything is to succumb to violence. And that feels familiar to some of us, myself included. And then the next quote is from Isaiah. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so if we hold these two quotes side by side, which of these would kind of describe the season that we're in? And some of you have heard me talk about the early years of Vox. That Thomas Merton quote is probably the first 5 years of Vox. Succumbing to violence, right? Just burning ourselves out. And then I took a sabbatical. And then in the last 7 years, I've really tried to do our best to establish a rhythm with our community to be, what would it look like to have a rhythm that's more renewing and sustainable? And I kind of felt like we were doing a pretty good job and we were finding our way around that. And then this last year, it kind of felt like everything unraveled. And I'm like, seriously, I get to learn this again. I'm learning this again and again And so the question is this morning, what would it look like for us both personally and collectively as a community? What if we found a way to live, or at least keep learning to live in a way that's renewing? So our lectionary text this morning is in 2 Corinthians 4. We'll be in verses 16 through 18. So we'll have it on the screen, read it aloud to a neighbor, and then we'll jump in. All right, 2 Corinthians 4. Go. All right, let's pick this up in verse 16. So Paul's writing to the community in Corinth, and he says this: "We do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day." And so that word nature there in the Greek is actually probably better literally translated as person. So you could read it like this: even though our outer person is wasting away, our inner person is being renewed day by day. And so at Vox, sometimes we use language true self, false self. And we've gotten some feedback that people don't like that language. It feels like pop psychology. It kind of feels like it was crafted in the 60s and we're imposing on the scriptures. But if you read a lot of ancient wisdom literature, it's actually all over the place. And in this text, you can hear Paul saying this. He's basically saying, even though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And so you could say our outer self and our inner self is like this. So our outer self is about who we need to be, who we think others want us to be. That's our outer self. Our inner self is who we actually are. Our outer self is about appearance, working up about appearance. Inner self is about vulnerability. Our outer self is we do things to be loved. Will you love me if I do this? If I perform better, will you love me? Our inner self, we live out of love. We're grounded in love and we live out of that space. Our outer self is about productivity. Our inner self is about rest. Our outer self is about addition. It's like pushing a boulder uphill. You've got this outer self that's slowly wasting away, but you take so much energy to keep it going. And then our inner self is about subtraction. And so maybe a question we can ask here is there something in our life that we can subtract in order to participate in our inner self that's being renewed? Does that make sense? So we kind of understand this physically, right? So when you're young and then when you're older, it slows down, but our bodies renew itself. So a couple weeks ago over Memorial Day, usually the first few bike rides of the summer, I forget how hot it is. And we're like, oh, it'll be fine. And so we decided for some reason to start late. We drove down to Smithville and our start time was at 9, which is not smart. Our bike ride was 4 hours. If you do the math, that means we'd end at 2. Just, it's dumb. Don't do that. Okay. So I have some pictures. This is when we're starting. This is like 9:30. Everyone looks so happy. It's not that hot yet. You keep going. Everyone's still kind of in a good mood. It's like 11 a.m. And then this is like 1 p.m. And we're starting to get flats. And we were just miserable. We had a friend with us who had moved from Seattle. Not used to the heat. He packed 8 bottles of water, which was wise. But he wasn't that fit yet. And water is heavy. So at some point, we're like, we distributed all of his water. So we're helping him carry his water. And then we get back into Bastrop State Park. And it was 2 p.m. It was so hot. Go to the next slide. And we were just trying to hustle home. We were baking. So it's 2 o'clock. It's 100 degrees. I'm sitting there on the bumper of my car. And I'm feeling terrible. I have a headache. I'm sunburnt. My legs are shot. Dehydrated, just completely felt miserable. Okay. So I'm a little older, so it takes me a little more time to recover. So let's say 2 weeks later, I felt fine. So in order to recover, did I do more or less? Physically, was it addition or subtraction? Subtraction. And I think what Paul's saying is we have this outer being, this outer person, this outer self that takes so much energy, all while our inner self is actually being renewed day by day. Anthony DeMello, who's an Indian Jesuit priest, he says it like this. says happiness is our natural state. So he uses the word happiness, which is kind of weird, but he just means contentment or peace, like what we want in life. He calls it happiness. Happiness is the natural state of children to whom the kingdom belongs until they have been polluted and contaminated by the stupidity of society and culture. He says it pretty strong. To acquire happiness, you don't have to do anything because happiness cannot be acquired. Does anyone know why? Because we have it already. Can you acquire what you already have? Then why don't you experience it? Because you have to drop something. He says it's about subtraction. You've got to drop illusions. You don't have to add anything in order to be happy. You've got to drop something. Life is easy. Life is delightful. It's only hard on your illusions, your ambitions, your greed, your cravings. Do you know where these things come from? From having identified with all kinds of labels, from having identified with what the world tells us we need to be. And so I remember I took my first sabbatical in 2011, and I think I thought I was going to spend 3 months improving my outer self. That was the vision I had. So I was going to do leadership development. I was going to read leadership books. I was going to meet with mentors. And I had this like grand ambition. I was going to come back with like epiphanies and this new vision for Vox. And then I got to my sabbatical. I was so exhausted. I had zero energy or creativity to do any of that. And I was so disappointed with myself. And this is what I did every day. My in-laws had a condo on the beach on Tybee Island. And then we slept in. We had brunch. Pastors rarely get to have Sunday brunch. Sunday brunch is awesome. And then I walked down the beach. The kids swam. And then I read teen fiction. I read The Hunger Games. I read Ready Player. Like, that's all I had energy for. And then I came back. And I've often said this. If I didn't take that sabbatical, I don't think I'd be at Fox today. If I didn't take that sabbatical, I don't know if I'd be a pastor today. And you could say, because of subtraction, I still love being at Vox. Because of subtraction, I'm still a pastor today. Does that make sense? Richard Rohr says it like this. How can I be more holy? We don't have to make ourselves holy. We already are. We just don't know it. It's called the divine indwelling or the free gift of the Holy Spirit. Authentic spirituality is more about subtraction than addition, more of letting go of he calls it the false self, but the outer self, than any attempt at engineering an inner self. You can't create what you already have. And so maybe a spiritual practice for us, maybe in this summer, you know, just think of something you can subtract from your life. Maybe it's noise, maybe it's social media, maybe it's social commitments, maybe it's feeding your children. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. So on my sabbatical, I'm getting rid of most of the functions on my phone. I'm getting what my son calls a trap phone. I didn't know what that was. I had to look it up. I'm just going to have a different phone number, no email, and I might use Google Maps. And then for Vox, this is what we're going to do this summer. So you've heard rumblings. We're going to announce officially that we're about to purchase a building 3 blocks from here. We'll announce it next week. It's very exciting. But this summer, we're going to slow down as a community, and we're going to rest and renew and recover. And then in the fall, we might need some manpower and some elbow grease for our new building. But we're just going to rest for a little bit, okay? And then as you subtract something, do you sense it freeing up space for something else, for more creativity, maybe something that's being renewed in your life? So let's try that this summer. Let's keep going in verse 17. And then he says this, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us. So when you face a slight momentary affliction, it's preparing you for the eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Or for our purposes, we could say this, for this interruption of the outer self. When that outer self is impeded, there's an affliction that stops it. It's preparing us for what's actually timeless, the kingdom of God within us, the eternal, the weight of glory. So this is the thing. Most of us, including myself, we live in a world which rewards the outer self, right? So you live up to a point, and it's actually sometimes hard to parse your outer self from your actual self. Does that make sense? And it actually takes the outer self to be interrupted. Like something has to impede it so that you can parse and know the difference between the outer and the inner self. So my son Joshua graduated from high school last week. And so he had a senior art show, which Jason came to, and Eileen, which was awesome. This is him and Fiola celebrating. The height difference is staggering. This is a video of him not high-fiving his father. So you can play it. He's already embarrassed. He sees me. Emmy's very nice. Gives me a high five. Dabs his way out of it. Thank you, son. Well played. And then this is his moment at the Irwin Center. That's a Fortnite move, he says, if you play Fortnite. Okay. All right. So you're at these commencements, and if you've been. So at some point, it becomes like an applause competition, right? And then you're trying to see who has the biggest applause. And then what happens is I think that these students graduate, and there's this sense of, oh, that... Like, that's the meaning of life. Like, that's what I chase for the rest of my life. Right? And you can mistake that for meaning. I was on the plane last week. And have you guys seen I, Tonya? Right? And so it's beautifully done. And she grows up in a family that's pretty abusive. She marries and her spouse is abusive. And she has this singular talent. Right? Everything is leaning on this talent. So check out this clip.
And the question is whether three moves into the program, she will do a triple axel. First, a triple Lutz. Nicely done.
And now we will find out whether she will be the first American to attempt and complete a triple axel jump. We will know that here, whether she tries it or not.
Couldn't make it. Well, you. I did. I proved everyone wrong. People standing up. I mean, I was just, for the first time, I knew I was the best figure skater in the world at one point in time. Sorry, no one ever really asks me about this anymore.
And did you hear what she said? She said, I was loved. And we mistake that for love. And we end up chasing that our whole life. Anthony DeMello says it like this. He says, if you wish to see You must give up that drug, that chasing that. You must tear away from your being the roots of society that have penetrated to the marrow. You must drop out. Externally, everything will go on as before. You will continue to be in the world, but no longer of it. You've heard that phrase before. To be in the world, but not of it. And in your heart, you will now be free at last and utterly alone. It is only in this aloneness, this utter solitude, that dependence and desire will die and the capacity to love is born. For one no longer sees others as a means to satisfy one's addiction, to get that. Does that make sense? And so I've been pastoring 21 years now, and I was thinking recently, like, why did I become a pastor? Like, what is that about? And I had this distinct memory of being pretty young, and I grew up in a church in a faith community. And some of our traditions, they kind of have like open mic night. Remember that? And then I remember as a kid, I was so nervous, and I was like, oh, maybe I should share my story. And then, you know, that night came and passed, and I didn't. The next one, I was like, oh, maybe I should do it. And then finally one night, I got the courage to go up, get on the mic, and tell my story. I don't think it was anything great or fantastic. But when a kid does it, adults usually are very encouraging, right? And I remember all these adults like, Gideon, that was great. And I was like, And I was like, oh, I like this, right? This feels good. And I think I trace the origins of wanting that. I first pastored as a 23-year-old. For me as a 23-year-old, no one should have trusted anything to me as 23. I'm sure there's 23-year-olds here who are very trustworthy. But I pastored this congregation. It was 14 students. They didn't have a pastor for 10 years. And so they were looking for a pastor for 10 years. So I came along. Anything I did was amazing because they didn't have a pastor. So my first pastor was just all these people going, And I was like, oh, this pastoring is awesome. I like this, right? And then I come to Austin. And then as we're trying to plant this church, I was working with college students. One of the worst things to ever happen to me as a pastor, I was 26 years old. I was invited to speak at a convention that had 20,000 people. And I was like, oh, this feels good. Like, in the meantime, my head's just getting bigger and bigger. And at a convention, college students, it's like a pep rally. Anything anyone says, they'll go, right? And I remember this packed room of like several hundred people, and they're just like, And so I'm still chasing that. And then, so you plant a church. When you start a church, people are really kind, and they go, And I'm like, oh, I like. Then I start an intentional community. Then you start another, this community space. Right? And then it runs out. I'm like, wait a minute. Where did everybody go? I remember we started this community center. I thought the city would be like, We had a cricket problem. And it was me sitting in this building, no applause, and just crickets chirping in the background. And then along the way, not only did people stop applauding, they started coming to me with all their problems. And before I knew it, we had burned out tons of people, and I burned myself into the ground. And I've also often said this. My burnout was probably the best thing to happen to Vox, for me to come to the end of myself. My burnout was probably one of the best things to happen to me as a pastor. And I don't wish a burnout upon anyone, but I wish the grace of the burnout upon everyone. I don't wish these momentary afflictions upon anyone, but I wish the grace of these momentary afflictions upon everyone. I remember I read a poem when I was burning out. I didn't really know what it meant, but I liked it. And I've read this before, but now that I've lived it and I'm still living it and still learning it, it's one of my favorite stanzas from a Wendell Berry poem. And he says this, it may be that when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. And when we no longer know which way to go, we have begun our real journey. The mind that is not baffled is not employed. The impeded stream is the one that sings. And I wish that grace upon all of us. Let's finish in verse 18. Then he says this, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. And what if we as a community learn not just to see what, but that learn to see not just what we can see, but learn to see the unseen. We're taught to see the what of life, but what if we learn together to see the why of life? Does that make sense? We're learned to read the text of life. What if we learn to understand the commentary and the why of life? Does that make sense? So I was watching this cycling video, which I tend to do, and they brought in a Jewish mystical rabbi to talk about cycling, which was strange, but she had something pretty profound to say, so check it out.
So I recently was teaching a class, and we were coming up on the finals, and I was asked if I would come and do this, and I thought, well, why not use that as an opportunity to have these students think about everything they've been learning all term and see if they would be able to answer the question, what aspects of mysticism that you've learned are in some way applicable to the idea of extreme athleticism? We came up with concepts that are important, central concepts in Jewish mysticism, concepts that are 1,000 and 2,000 years old that apply. For example, there's a concept that's very central to the process a mystic goes through in order to undertake a mystical experience, without even getting into the nature of it, called kavana. Kavana literally means intention. So it's just a Hebrew word that means I'm paying attention. This is my kavana. Over time, though, the mystics take this idea, which simply means I'm paying attention, and they push the meaning a little further and a little deeper. They say, what happens if I pay attention more? What happens if I pay attention more intensely? Where does that get me? The more I am concentrating specifically on this one act, the more of my being I can bring to it, the more power and energy I can focus upon it, I become entirely concentrated on this one aspect of myself. The entire self becomes subsumed into this rhythm, this pattern, or maybe just the feel of the feet. Something extremely narrow and powerful, like a beam of light, that becomes more powerful as it is concentrated into a narrower and narrower beam of consciousness. And one's power becomes concentrated in that specific narrow sense of self. Paradoxically, that narrowing down opens one up into an all-encompassing sense of being. So that very, very narrow light, intense as it is, once you're inside it, is all light. And that's all you are. Pared down to that incredible intensity of this one thing.
Isn't that beautiful? She makes cycling sound way more profound than it actually is. But what she's saying is if we learn to see, if we learn to pay attention, and you can do that in all aspects of life, including something as mundane as cycling. But what if we learn to pay attention and to see day to day what's happening in our lives? You know, people have asked, you know, Gideon, you're about to take your second sabbatical. What's the difference between the first and the second? And I say that the first one, I was underwater like this. I was just trying to get above water. But I had so little awareness that people would ask me, Gideon, are you tired? I was like, no, I'm not tired. I'm like a toddler. I get this manic energy, right? And then this time, I'm probably like right here. And I'm more aware. I'm more paying attention to what's happening in my body, my emotions, my spirit. And what if we learned to see what is unseen? Not just the what of life, but the why. And Paul says this. He says, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner person, your inner self, with power through his spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being this inner self is being rooted and grounded in love. And then he says, now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly more. So this renewal that's happening in our inner self, is being renewed more than we can think or imagine. Far abundantly, far more than all we ask or imagine. And so I thought maybe we could close with a guided meditation this morning. Is that okay? And so we've done this meditation before together, but I thought it'd be appropriate to do it again as we talk about renewal. And so if you could just find your center, find a comfortable space on your chair. You can close your eyes if you'd like to. Take a deep breath in and exhale. Kind of sense the tension in your neck and in your body. Inhale. And exhale. And this is a meditation from Anthony DeMello. It says, recall the kind of feeling you have when someone praises you, when you are approved, accepted, someone's cheering you on, applauding you. Recall that kind of feeling. Now contrast that feeling with the feeling you get when you look at a sunset or a sunrise or a newborn baby. He says the first is a worldly feeling. It's manufactured. He says it's created by society and culture to make us more productive and controllable. He says these feelings don't renew us. So that second feeling is when your soul, your inner person, is renewed. Then he says, recall the kind of feeling you have when you succeed, when you've made it, you get to the top, when you win a game or an argument. Now contrast that feeling, the kind of feeling you get when you're really enjoying the job or the work that you're doing. It says, notice the qualitative difference between the first and the second that actually renews us. Now remember what it felt like when you had power, you were the boss, people looked up to you, took orders from you, you were popular. Now contrast that feeling with the feeling of intimacy, companionship. And there was a time you enjoyed yourself in the company of a friend. There was laughter and fun. And hear Christ say, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world? You're successful at work. You have degrees. You have titles. You look good. You're impressive. Great house, job, car, degree, cute children. You travel the world, see the best bands, eat the finest restaurants. What do you benefit if you gain all of that, but lose your own soul? And so, Vox, this is my prayer for us. There is nothing else to do now but rest and patiently learn to receive the self you have forsaken for the race of days. At first, your thinking will darken and the sadness will take over like listless weather. The flow of unwept tears will frighten you. You have traveled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rush through. Watch the way of the rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight. Take time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. May we stay clear of those vexed in spirit so that we can learn to linger around someone of ease who feels like they have all the time in the world. And by God's grace, Fox, may we return to ourselves, having learned a new respect for our hearts and the joy that dwells far within slow and ordinary time. And we pray this in the patience of the holy mystery, the kindness of Christ, and the gentleness of the Spirit. Amen.